Doug Rutherford is a connector and event planner. However, he didn't start that way. Listen to Doug's inspiring story of learning who he was that helped him from going from feeling alone and invisible in a crowd to becoming the social connector and event planner that he is today on the Be Do Concept podcast. Hi, I'm Lindy Kirby, mother of seven, speaker, singer-songwriter, mentor, author, podcaster, and the founder and developer of the Be Do Concept. And you're listening to the Be Do Concept podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This is episode number 16 on the podcast, where I teach people about the Be Do Concept and the different ways people think that can help them in overcoming trials, helping you get unstuck, and helping you move forward in being happy and living your purpose and mission. Today, I have Doug Rutherford with me. He is a good friend of mine, and I believe he is living his purpose and mission. He is a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and he is a connector. He runs a Facebook group and helps people so they don't feel alone. So singles have places to go and events to attend, and they don't have to be alone. I really love his story because he has a great combination of both be and do thinking. The biggest strength of be thinking is knowing who you are. And I think when you listen to his story, you'll see that that's so true and why that's been powerful in changing his life completely. I also love that he's a great do thinker as well, doing those things that really make a difference to other people. And I'm just so excited to have him share his story with you today. Doug, thanks so much for being here. And how about if you just tell us a little bit about you and some of those things that you've been doing?
I moved to Utah from the Seattle area about 9 years ago. Been divorced for about six-ish. And I've got three daughters, currently ages 22, 19, and 16. And I have an IT background, but I spend my free time organizing events and activities, mostly for singles, sometimes for families. I like to have some kid-friendly activities too, but I just like to help bring people together and help people connect, because it's hard to be single, but you don't have to be single alone. So I try to organize events and activities that I think would be fun and appeal to a wide variety of people. I just think of what would be, you know, fun and appealing to me, and how can I make that happen and include a bunch of other people? So I just like bringing people together.
I love that, Doug. Can you tell us a little bit about how you started? Have you always been so social and outgoing like that to create these kinds of events?
Not at all. Actually, quite the opposite. Most of my life, I was very shy. I had low self-esteem, low self-confidence. I would go to activities and just feel invisible. Like I didn't know how to include myself into groups. I guess I had a hard time making friends. And it wasn't until after my divorce did things change.
That's amazing that you started that way and then things changed so dramatically. What would you say was the change? What happened?
Well, I guess that's a bit of a story. When I was going through my divorce, I use an analogy, and I say that I feel like I was in a deep, dark pit that I couldn't get out of. It was, you know, and at the time I felt like I didn't care. I was so, you know, blasé about it, apathetic. It was like, okay, whatever, this is the way it is. And then in this analogy, I say that it started to rain, like things just got worse, and this pit started to fill up with water, and I sat down in this mud and this water filling up, and the sides of this pit were all muddy and slippery. And I'm like, okay, this is how it's going to end. This is my life now. Whatever. And I was in this, for lack of a better term, pit of despair. And while I was in this pit, a voice came to me and basically said, think of how this will impact your kids. And I was like, oh, crap. I need to get out of this pit, because I couldn't prevent what they went through as a part of the divorce, but I could prevent them from losing a dad.
So let me understand. You were in the pit and just had this feeling of, how is this going to affect my kids if I give up and stay there in the pit?
Yeah, basically, because I had thoughts of not living anymore. Wow. Fortunately, I never acted on those, but something made me think of the consequences of those actions. So I wasn't totally far gone. And I realized that it would have huge negative impact on my kids, and I couldn't let that happen.
And probably not just your kids, I'm guessing. A lot of people don't realize how much they matter to everybody around them.
That's true. And at that time, I didn't. And I wasn't feeling it, and I didn't care at that point. But I knew that I loved my kids, and I needed to be there for them. So I got onto my feet in this pit with a strong determination to get out of this pit at whatever cost. And so in this analogy, I'm clawing away at this sides of this pit, trying to find where to put my hands, where to put my feet, you know, getting dirt and rocks and whatever underneath my fingernails, trying to just claw my way out, trying to find where the best place is to put my hands and feet. And I kept falling, and it was so frustrating. And I realized this problem is way bigger than me. And so I started to pray with an intensity that I've never had before, and a focus that my prayers have never had. And I said, God, this problem is bigger than me, and I can't do this without you. Please show me the path that I must take. Show me where I need to put my hands and where I need to put my feet, that I can climb out of this pit, because my kids need me. And God said, no, I'm not going to do that.
God said, no, I'm not going to help you?
He said, no. He said, I'm not going to show you where to put your hands and where to put your feet. He said, because as soon as I do, you'll climb out of that pit, and then you'll forget me. Mm. And in that moment, I cried. Not because he said no, but because I knew he was right.
Because it was true.
Yeah. I'm like, it's God. I'm like, yeah, okay, you're right, of course. And he said, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to give you something that will help you not just for now in this moment, but will help you for the rest of your life. I'm going to give you a glimpse into how I view you.
Oh, my goodness. He knows the big picture, doesn't he?
Yeah. Right. And he said, and once you gain a perspective of that, you will see that I've already blessed you with all the things that you need to get out of that pit yourself.
Wow.
And once you do, I'm going to have a work for you that you've never known, because I need you to feed my sheep. I need you to connect singles. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. You know, I start to protest, and he cuts me off, of course. Like, it's like, I know, but I'm going to give you all the blessings that you need to do this thing that I'm asking of you. Because if I can give Moses Aaron, who wasn't great in speech, to be able to accomplish the thing I asked of him, surely I can do this for you. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Take the wheel. my life is yours now. Like, I don't feel like I have much else or much to offer. So whatever, you know, I have, guide me, direct me, let me be your, you know, a tool in your hands. And I was just, had so much humility at the time, and I didn't know exactly what he had in store for me, but I found myself starting to feel a wide array of complex emotions. Having grown up in a household where my dad would say, stop that crying before I give you something to cry about, I didn't have unapproved emotions. Like I thought it was normal that I felt two or three, you know, simple emotions at any given time. And now all of a sudden I'm feeling a lot of other emotions that I've never felt before. My daughter came home from her therapist one time with this sheet of paper that had a bunch of drawn faces on it. And this was before my divorce was final. My wife said, you know, your daughter identifies with 18 of those emotions that she's feeling. And I'm like, wow, that seems like a lot. And then I thought, I wonder how many I identify with. So I looked at it and I counted them up while I was going through my divorce. And I identified with 24 of those emotions that I was feeling all at once. Now, normally, the whole rest of my life, having, you know, been just feeling two or three emotions at any given time, I was super overwhelmed. I didn't know how to process it. And I was really confused by it. And I can tell you what rage feels like. I can tell you what despair feels like. I can even tell you what panic attacks feel like. But I've also realized that for all of those emotions, there is an opposite corresponding emotion. And with whatever intensity that I've felt those emotions that we don't necessarily care for so much, you have an equal capacity to feel an opposite emotion. So
the love kindness.
I've also felt great peace and great joy and great happiness, which is part of what drives me to do the things that I do now. And so now somebody else has had to identify it for me and say that, well, you're an empath now. And I'm like, oh, okay. I thought that was just a thing on Star Trek. But God taught me a lesson while this was all brand new. I was coming back from an activity downtown, and my friend and I were walking back to my car, and she ran into somebody that she hadn't seen in like 10 years. And she's like, oh my gosh, how are you doing? And he responds with, oh, I'm doing all right. And the words that came out of my mouth were not mine, but I remember what I said. I said, I know she just asked you how you're doing, and you said you were doing all right, but the way you responded kind of tells me there's something about your life right now that isn't quite all right, and that there's at least part of you that wants to talk about it. And I get not wanting to talk about it with me because you don't know me, but you do know her. So I'm going to step over here for a few minutes and let you guys talk. And I walked away and I'm like, what the heck was that? I'm saying to myself, who talks like that? And I'm like, what did I just say? What did I just do? And I'm like, well, I guess that was done. I'm just going to go play on my phone for a few minutes. And 5 or 10 minutes later, she walks over and I'm like, so how did it go? And she's like, well, yeah, he's going through a little rough patch in his life right now. And we exchanged phone numbers and we're going to talk a little more about it later this week. And I'm like, there's no way that I should have known that. There's no way that I could have known that. Why did I say the things that I just said? I'm like, what damage did I just do?
None.
And I realized that it was not as much for him as it was for me. It took me a while to realize this, that God was telling me, this is what you can do now. Go and bless the lives of others. Go and connect with people emotionally. Help them to feel comfortable and safe and vulnerable. And it was like, why are you giving me the superpowers? Like, it's a double-edged sword. And I've been in large rooms now where I've felt, you know, that person's feeling lonely, that person's feeling confused, that person's feeling despair, you know, that person's having a panic attack and they need someone that they trust to help them to feel grounded, you know, and different things like that. And I'm like, why am I able to to tell this from, you know, not interacting with people, but just kind of sensing them from a distance. And it's been very different for me. But I realized that it's what he's given me to help me to connect with people and then to help them to connect to others. And that's been my real, I guess, I call them superpowers.
Have you felt that your whole life or just since that time?
Just since that time.
Oh, wow.
Before my divorce, you know, I was that person at an event, you know, in the shadows, against the wall, by myself, that people ignored, you know, standing there hoping that somebody would come and talk to me, recognize me, see that I was there and, you know, want to make me feel included and welcome. And sad to say, it almost never happened. So I would go home feeling depressed. Well, there's another event in the bag that nobody noticed me. And now that I don't necessarily need that, and I, you know, because I know who I am now, you know, having that perception that God gave me of how he views me, I have the confidence that I've never had before. And now, coming from that background, when I'm at an event and I see somebody alone, I mean, that was me. And so I'm like, you know, as long as I can do something about it, I'll be damned if somebody else is going to go home feeling the way I did all those times. So I go and I talk to them. It's like, hey, what's your name? I'm Doug. And, you know, what should I know about you? And, you know, tell me about yourself. And here's a little bit about me. And I talk to them and I let them know that I have a genuine and sincere care about who they are as a person. And I build a relationship of trust with them. And then I'm like, hey, there's some other friends of mine over there I want to introduce you to. Come with me. And usually I've never had anybody resist that. And so I'm like, come on, let me introduce you to some people. And so I take them over to this group and I go, hey guys, hey, this is so-and-so. I just met him and here's what I just learned about him. And, you know, this is my friend Dave and, you know, he's an accountant. And this is my friend Stephanie and she's a third grade teacher and I'm really excited about it. And, you know, and I share what I learned about this new guy and I'm really excited about that. And they start talking about, oh, you're doing this and this is my experience with that. And they, you know, start up a conversation and he starts getting integrated into this brand new social circle. And they introduce him to a few other people they were already talking to, like it was a pyramid scheme. And in that way, I become a bridge and help them to cross over to where, from where they were to probably where they want to be or probably where they should be. And if you're on a path always going forward, once you cross a bridge, you don't need it anymore. And I can step away and do that for other people. And I absolutely love doing that because now I'm the person in other people's lives that I always wanted in mine.
Aww. And I love that. You found your purpose.
Yeah.
And that came out of that hard situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I love doing it. It's something that's motivated me more than anything else in my life.
And that's what you got out of that pit that you were in?
Yeah, I got out of that pit and he basically said he needs me to help them to connect. I'm active in the church and I have a strong testimony and everything, but to be honest, the church doesn't have a great program for singles or divorced people or widows even for that matter. And so I'm trying to fill in that gap, you know, on my own. I don't necessarily look for church support or approval. I'm going to do this.
And I know that about you. You're awesome. We have so many activities and it's really because you just hear it. You head it up, you come up with the ideas and make them happen. It's been awesome to watch.
So much easier to not have to ask for permission.
Right. Oh, Doug, this has been wonderful. Is there anything else that you'd like to share just to help anyone or what would be your message that you would leave?
Well, if you're, you know, it doesn't matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert or whatever, if you're, you know, if you have difficulty making connections, I'll say you can always, you know, take a chance, come to one of my events. My event group on Facebook is Bonfire Events Group. It's public. Anyone can join. And I always try to create an environment where people feel welcome, safe, comfortable, included, and where they can be allowed to feel vulnerable. And everyone is welcome unless they're detrimental to those values. And then I ask them to leave if they're making people feel uncomfortable or something. Fortunately, I haven't really had to do that. But come take a chance. Come step out of your comfort zone a little bit if that's what it takes. And I'll even say, feel free to just stay in my shadow. And I will help you connect with people at whatever comfort level, you know, you want. You know, I will never push you to, you know, make connections. And if you want to sit, you know, on the outskirts because that's what you're ready for, that's totally fine too. Just take a chance and come out. You don't have to be alone.
I love that. And it just shows how much you've grown because you've been there and you know how that feels to have that empathy. I love that you call that a superpower. Doug, thanks so much for being here and for sharing your story. I know that you must be blessing so many people from your events and example. And I love going to your events. I really do appreciate all that you do for the singles, especially in Utah. And for anybody who wants to attend those events, the link for that Bonfire Facebook group is in the description, so you can find that there. Also, anybody who wants to meet Doug, you can find him online on Facebook, and he's just an awesome, awesome guy. To all my listeners, thank you so much for being here. I hope you'll join me again. I love sharing inspiring stories like this one. If you know someone who inspires you because you know the hard things they've been through, then I hope you'll let me know about them, because that's what we need. We need real life examples of people that have overcome hard things in their life, but they're making something from it. And I love Doug's story because he's doing that, because he took something that was hard in his life and he made it. And I think a lot of that is what creates our purpose and our mission, is overcoming some of those hard things in life and becoming the person that God knew we have the potential to be. And sometimes that means going through hard things. And so I love that example. Again, thanks so much for listening and for being here on the Be Do Concept podcast. I love to share inspiration and different ways of thinking, and I hope you'll join me again. I'm Lindy Kirby, and I'll talk with you again next week on the Be Do Concept podcast.